Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks in Concord, New Hampshire.
We're talking about the first New Hampshire primary debate scheduled for tonight. For those of you who have a debate scorecard, here are the seven candidates who are going to take the stage. They are, in alphabetical order, Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann, businessman Herman Cain, former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich, Texas Representative Ron Paul, former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, and former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum.
And listeners, so the GOP field of candidates is shaping up, and that's our talker today. And we want to hear from you, especially those of you up in New Hampshire. What are you going to be looking for in tonight's debate? What issues are the most important to you? The economy, healthcare, Iraq and Afghanistan. And what do you make of the current field of candidates? Mitt Romney's being called a front runner. Is it his race to lose? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK.
And joining us now to talk about these candidates and the effect tonight's debate might have is Radio Boston's team of political analysts on the Republican side. See, I'm already like making this out to be a GOP versus Democrat fight, but I apologize. But Jack Clancy is our Republican analyst. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Jack.
Hi, Meghna. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And also with us is Susan Tracy. She is our Democratic analyst. Welcome to you, Susan.
Thanks, Meghna. Hi, Jack.
So if I could just get sort of the top line thought from both of you on tonight's debate, what will you be looking for and what will you expect to hear?
It's early. I think we all agree that it's early. But with Romney being pointed out as the front runner, I think he may have to dodge some bullets tonight. Obviously, he's leading, I guess, in the most recent Gallup, 24% to his closest rival, Sarah Palin, who's not even in the race. At 16. So of the people on in the debate, he's ahead by 15 points. So he is the front runner. So he'll hear some things from some of the other candidates. It'll be curious to see how much they will attack him.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I think will be interesting tonight is one, as everyone knows, there's a big Bruins game on. So I think there's going to not be a lot of attention necessarily to watching the debate in full. So moments of interesting sound bites, a good sort of counterpunch, a good piece of theater that comes out of this debate could be what gets the play after this is over. And that could sort of take someone.
Mm. Well, Jack and Susan, I'm curious to know what you think about this. What can Mitt Romney do? What should Mitt Romney do? I mean, what's interesting about this debate is this is the first point at which he can't ignore his Republican opponents. Up until this point, he's been pretty much able to keep his message focused on President Obama and the economy. He might not be able to do that tonight.
Yeah, I just two thoughts on that. I think he has to stay focused on the economy. He has to keep the message tight on the economy. And he can't be baited into social issues. You know, you have a group of people in that panel who I think would probably like to take him off message and take him down a path that I think could be detrimental to him. So I think his goal is to be disciplined. I think this is where he has a real edge, having been through this once before. But he needs to be disciplined. He needs to not be taken off message, and he has to keep this focused on the economy.
And I think as the front runner, obviously he has to play a little defense here. A lot of times you can only lose in this environment, so he has to be careful not to make a statement that's going to get him in trouble. I think he's going to have to face the, as someone said earlier, the Obamacare issue. Pawlenty came up with that earlier, as you know. Pawlenty, by the way, was 6% 3 weeks ago. He's 6% now, so he really hasn't made much of a dent into Romney's lead. So he may be the one who has to throw the slings at Romney. Romney's going to have to describe why he indeed did vote for a health care plan in Massachusetts. Obviously, the fact that he got around the single-payer issue is something that he has to stress.
Mm-hmm. And he has to stay consistent on that message. I think, you know, the big thing for Romney is being perceived as a flip-flopper, being perceived as a political opportunist, not being seen as genuine. And I think he needs to stick to his guns, stick with his states' rights message, and not waver.
Well, how can he do that differently this time around than he tried in 2008? I mean, he ended up losing the primary to John McCain in 2008, largely because of the same accusations of being a flip-flop.
You know, I think that's one of the great advantages he's going to have 4 years later, is that he's seasoned. You know, you can't underestimate having been through these races before and learning from your mistakes. I think that he's got to come clean, and I think he's tried to do that. I think he just has to stay consistent on his message on the health care plan in Massachusetts and why he did it.
And the difference was 37% to 32% last year. It was a 5% difference. It wasn't a giant knockout punch. I think he hoped to have done better. Oh, he's doing better in fundraising already. He just raised $10 million on one of his eight-hour call-ins as opposed to $6 million in the last go-round.
There's also one other critical difference between 2008 and 2012. Independents can vote in the primary in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, there was the Obama-Clinton race going on. That took a lot of moderate voters who will vote in a Republican primary this year when there's no action on the Democratic side and brought them over to the Democratic side of the equation. Romney can really benefit from that. Again, if he doesn't fall into the social issues traps, if he stays focused on the economy and he keeps raising money the way he is.
Well, on that note, let's take a call from Framingham. Sarah's on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. I'm calling with a comment. I've been a Democrat most of my life, and now I'm considered an independent, but I still lean Democrat. I've been in Massachusetts, as I said, most of my life, and Mitt Romney needs to go back to who he was when he was our governor. I really liked where he stood in all of the points, and I think what he needs to do is come towards people like me who were, I'm tired of Obama. I voted for him. I went knocking door to door for him. I think Mitt Romney needs to reach out to people like me instead of trying to appease the crazy conservatives on the far right. And that's basically my comment.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask about that great phone call to you, Jack and Susan, because it seems like one of the things that Mitt Romney's doing this time around is paying a lot less attention to Iowa. And arguably, that's what tripped him up 4 years ago, is that it seemed like he thought New Hampshire was in the bag. And then there are far more sort of social conservatives out there in Iowa that seem to sort of pull him off his game a little bit. What do you think about that?
And that's why he's staying away from the straw poll. Obviously, he wants to delay the whole thing by a year. And of course, Pawlenty, if he stays in the race, is going to look good in Iowa, being a Midwesterner. I think the key might not necessarily be Iowa as much as South Carolina. No Republican candidate has ever won, and not won South Carolina. So I think that may be an area where he really is going to have to put some emphasis.
I do think emphasizing New Hampshire for him is not only a smart strategy, but probably his only strategy. I think if you look at the two bookends there of Iowa and South Carolina, he's in a tough spot in both. So putting all his marbles into New Hampshire, and again, the nature of that primary and the nature of the independent voters in it, and really staying focused economy and not getting caught on the social issues path, is pretty critical to him. I think it's a smart strategic move on his part.
Well, on the other hand, Susan, I mean, you mentioned Governor Romney trying not to get caught with social issues. And in the last segment, we heard Anthony's great interview with a variety of voters who were saying that, stalwart conservative values, some of them being social values, were really important to them in the rise of the Tea Party movement. It makes me wonder, I mean, there will be other people on stage with him, including Ron Paul and Michelle Bachmann, that is exactly, those are the issues that they will be bringing up again and again and again. Those are their strengths and that their
absolutely
base.
Absolutely. I guess, I don't know any candidate who's ever won with 100% of the vote. So what you have to do is hope that you have a message that speaks to the majority. And in this case, it's not even a majority. It's the majority of, a large field to get the highest vote total. I think you just have to concede some portions of the vote to other candidates and hope that you have the larger chunk. And New Hampshire seems like a smart place for him to do that.
Let me ask about a couple. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jack.
No, I agree. A win in New Hampshire is critical to get the ball rolling. But to your point about Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul, these are very conservative or libertarian people who are going to make Mitt look even more liberal than some people perceive him to be simply by what they say. So he has to come back out. If he wants the Tea Party ideologues, he's going to have to show some of his conservative stripes.
Absolutely. I do. I agree.
Actually, Anthony, before we move on, we have a caller exactly on this point, and I just want to get them in here. Steve is calling from Providence, Rhode Island. You're on the air, Steve.
Oh, hi. Thanks. I was calling to say I'm a Republican, and I haven't really been liking any of the Republican nominees so far, and people who are running. And in the last election, I voted for Obama because I really wasn't happy at all with anything that had happened under Bush, and I didn't vote for George W. Bush at either time. But at this point, with the people that are running, a lot of them are so wishy-washy, especially Romney, I'm not sure where he's going to be, that I've been listening more and more to Ron Paul online, mostly. And I like what he's got to say, and I've been listening to him for a number of years, but now I'm starting to think, well, maybe this is the time that states' rights really are more important than a strong federal government. Maybe we should weaken our federal government more and let some of our civil liberties be used.
Steve, thank you so much for your call. I mean, that's got to be a comment or a thought that echoes up and down the Granite State, the Live Free or Die State.
Yeah. Ron Paul, I think, is an interesting candidate. As I reflected on the group, I feel like he's the person who could stand out in a New Hampshire-type election. And New Hampshire is a little contrary sometimes. They like to do some funny tweaking. You know, they were really good to Pat Buchanan. They, you know, gave Romney a tickle last time and went with McCain. Ron Paul is someone who I could see getting some traction in with the New Hampshire electorate. I agree with the caller.
Nobody, though, I think, or many people don't want to waste a vote. And Paul went from 10% again 3 or 4 weeks ago in Gallup. He's dropped down to 7. And so we're going to get to a point where for Republicans it may become anybody but Obama. Then we're going to put a candidate forward who may be a little more liberal, moderate than they really want.
Jack, let me, and Susan, I'm curious to know what you make of the Newt Gingrich factor. It's such an intriguing story. As we know, last week, pretty much his entire campaign staff from South Carolina, New Hampshire, and Iowa quit. He's going to be at the debate tonight. He always manages to create a little bit of intellectual firepower wherever he is. I expect that he's going to do that. But what does he really bring to this race when we're not even sure if he's got a campaign staff at this point?
I think I heard someone use the term Newtony over the weekend. I didn't coin it, certainly, but it's 16 people. He lost 16 people some people say because of his wife having her hands in the play too much or because he took a 2-week vacation. None of these things look good to anyone when you're trying to get to the serious level of campaigning. And I think Newt's going to have a very difficult time getting his points across.
I think you have to ask yourself, why is Newt running for president? And it seems it's more about his bottom line than the country's needs. I feel like it's just a play to keep himself in play and maybe to keep his speaking engagements going soon.
Let me ask about one more thing, and that is Herman Cain. He's the businessman of Godfather's Pizza fame. I want to ask about him because we know that he doesn't have tons of money, but I got to say, I saw him yesterday, and he created sort of some buzz in the room, and people hear him speak, and they go, oh, my God, you know, it's amazing what he says. So I'm just wondering if what you folks think he could bring, just this sort of ability to tell it like it is, and at least in these early stages, get people to listen to him.
I also think he's really different. You know, he's an African-American businessman in the Republican Party who's a conservative. I think that in and of itself is an attention-grabbing moment for the Republican Party. You know, I think if I was a Republican, I'd like to see him do well. Just, you know, it shows some broadness and depth to the party that is not always evident to folks. So I think he's just an interesting candidate. I think he probably falls in the category of a lot of businessmen who jump into races at the highest level. They don't usually go very far.
I think because he's a plain speaker, it seems like every campaign, there's always at least one person who's a plain speaker, straight talker, who just simply says what's on their mind without any fear. And I think he's that candidate.
We actually have a little bit of tape of Herman Cain speaking to CBS News recently. Let's listen.
And I have been speaking at Tea Parties, Americans for Prosperity, since 2009, before it was cool.
Right.
And I have won nearly a dozen straw polls.
So there's a little bit of that plain speaking from Herman Cain. And do the straw polls that he mentioned, winning nearly a dozen of them, do they matter?
I don't think so. I think Romney's not going to get involved, and I think in 3 straw polls this year, claiming that it's going to be too costly for him.
Right.
He's got plenty of money. I don't think that's the reason.
Well, on that note, I've been sort of had this urge all day to ask a somewhat blasphemous question about the New Hampshire primary. I mean, it's early. It's going to be, I don't know the exact date, but sometime in January, right? And as we saw in 2008, on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton wins. The man who was going to become President Obama loses, although he wins in Iowa. My question is that obviously these first-in-the-nation primaries and caucuses are important, but the fact that they come so many months before the conventions and general elections, you know, how important really are they in the long run to November 2012?
I think in the case of Mitt Romney, he had split South Carolina, Michigan, some western states, New Hampshire, and so on with John McCain. Super Tuesday came around the first week in February, and he was gone.
Yeah.
So they're important, that's for sure. And building a little momentum is critical in these states. Because Super Tuesday just is filled with delegates.
Right. And they just start
perception.
To weed out.
Sure.
Yeah, they start to weed out the candidates. You know, people will start to fall. And the critical thing is your money dries up. And if your money dries up, you just can't continue to compete and go on. So they're really important.
It also depends on the candidate, doesn't it? I mean, it depends on the candidate. I mean, for Mitt Romney, the New Hampshire primary is everything.
He needs to win in his own backyard, right?
He needs to win here, and without it, I think it would be very difficult for him to go
forward. And he's telegraphed that. He's telegraphed that this is the whole thing for me. This is where I'm focusing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Susan Tracy, Radio Boston's Democratic analyst, thank you so much
for
joining us today. And Jack Clancy, Radio Boston's Republican analyst, thank you to you, too.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, students at for-profit colleges are more likely than others to default on their debt, and many say they're not getting the job skills they paid for. The Massachusetts Attorney General is looking into it, and so will we.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com.
And we want to thank our friends at New Hampshire Public Radio. Special thanks to Andrew Perella for making today's broadcast from Concord possible. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.